John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that he that hears my word and believes him that has sent me has life eternal, and does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life. Verily, verily, I say unto you that an hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that have heard shall live. For even as the Father has life in himself, so he has given to the Son also to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is Son of Man. Wonder not at this, for an hour is coming, in which all who are in the tombs shall hear his voice, and shall go forth, those that have practiced good to resurrection of life, and those that have done evil to resurrection of judgment. I'll read another scripture later. These are the words of the Lord Jesus. The words of the Lord Jesus are words from God, truly God manifest in flesh. How special the words of Jesus are. We've been reading in Job during the week, and we've been reading the direct words of Jehovah as he speaks to Job from out of the cloud, out of the whirlwind. There's something very special and powerful about the words directly from God. How special they are. In Job, God asks Job some questions. Where were you when I founded the earth? One of the things that struck me was, who has given understanding to the mind? Many people today think they have understanding. People have many different qualifications of all kinds. The very fact that we can understand anything, of anything, in any way, shows that we have a God of knowledge, a God of wisdom has given us the understanding. The fact that we can think in any way shows that God has given us, given man, the ability, his thinking ability. How wonderful that is. There are so many questions in Job that would speak to an atheist. Where were you when I founded the earth? But we live today in a world, don't we, of perhaps a post-Christian society in this country, of where everything that is of God is being mocked or questioned. Relative truth, what's true for you may not be true for me. How do we know anything is true? Questioning God's existence, putting their faith in a feeble theory, and every time it continually changes. That's why I felt that the first two words that Jesus said in this passage are so powerful, aren't they? Verily, verily. In other words, truly, truly. The gospel is true. I know it was a while ago you would have read this passage, but how wonderful the words of the Lord Jesus in John's gospel are. John writes with great certainty, doesn't he, that you may know the witness is true. The gospel is true. The word of God is true. So few things often we in this world we can believe as being true. News is manipulated. In some countries, what you hear is what the government wants you to hear. Nothing about the terrible things that are going on elsewhere. Perhaps that's true to an extent across the world. You hear a message that has been adapted for you. How wonderful to know what is true, what is the clarity and power of God's word. So Jesus says, verily, verily, he underlines what he's about to say. He that hears my word and believes him that has sent me, that's God, has life eternal. The gospel is about life eternal and death eternal. God speaks about judgment. The Lord Jesus speaks about judgment in this passage. Life eternal and death eternal are before us. Every human being, we were discussing recently with the young people, every human being has an immortal soul, has a never-dying soul which must live somewhere. He that hears my words and believes him that has sent me has life eternal. What an offer, dear friends. What an offer tonight. How important the gospel is that people hear the message of receiving life eternal. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world in order that you might receive life eternal. Nicodemus came to Jesus during the night. What a treasure it is to receive life eternal. We can only get life eternal from one source, and that's from God himself, through our Lord Jesus Christ. They that hear, an hour is coming, and now is. Time goes past very quickly, doesn't it? The older we get, the quicker time seems to go. I spoke to a colleague of mine quite some time ago about being a Christian. Not that I gave a tremendous witness to him, but I told him that I was a Christian and I go to gather with God's people. And he said, I don't have time for that. His career was everything. And we meet people like that, don't we? Their career is everything. They don't have time for the things of God. How solemn, what a terrible mistake that is. Because there is a fixed time, the fixed time that is coming, in which all who are in the tombs shall hear his voice. But now, the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that have heard shall live. The voice of the Son of God speaks to us tonight, and has done throughout the last 2,000 years as the gospel is preached. It's not the preacher that wants to be heard. The preacher wants Jesus to be heard. The preacher wants the Son of God to be heard. It's not important in that sense what the preacher has to say. He just wants to be a mouthpiece for God to speak, for the Son of God to speak. Because when the Son of God speaks, the dead shall live. When the Lord Jesus spoke, Lazarus came from the dead, rose from the dead. Lazarus came back to life. And so it is with every soul that truly hears the voice of the Lord. The dead shall live. They that have heard shall live. Even as the Father has life in himself, so he has given to the Son also to have life in himself. The Lord Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. How many attempts the devil has made to turn aside glory from the Lord Jesus. How many times in so-called the Christian world people have tried to be distracted by looking at the saints or praying to anything other than Jesus. How many attempts the devil has made to distract people away from the glory of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus is the only way to heaven, the only way, the way, the truth and the life. Life is found alone in him. He has life in himself and is given authority to execute judgment also. That was a message that Paul preached to the Athenians. I wonder how similar Athens was to the world we see today. People worship all kinds of idols, don't they? They worship the creature more than the creator, it says in Romans 1. You have people today that almost worship animals. Animal rights are more important than human rights. The rights of the unborn child. How many evidences there are today of Romans 1 and Athens, the ancient city of Athens, and the state of things that there were there. The unknown God. They don't know God. So Paul came to announce the gospel to them, the true God. And it says he's been given authority to execute judgment also. Some people today deny, so-called Christians deny that there's going to be a hell. Deny that there's going to be a judgment. Everyone wants justice, don't they? If you ask someone if they have lost a family relative through something terrible being done to them, some wicked crime, they will want justice. Everyone wants justice. And yet, how important it is to turn to the just God, the one living and true God, who one day will execute judgment, who one day will bring about perfect judgment through the Son. And then Jesus gives a prophecy. He speaks about an hour that hasn't yet happened. I think the first hour perhaps has already happened to an extent, because the dead shall are hearing the voice of the Son of God and are living through the gospel. But there is an hour coming in which all who are in the tombs shall hear his voice. I was reminded a while ago that the meaning of the word cemetery is sleeping place. Interesting, isn't it? For the believer, we're only asleep. But everyone is just asleep in a cemetery. They're just waiting for that time when they will all hear the voice of the Son of God. Oh, what a powerful thing that is. The Lord Jesus has given this prophecy, this truth, this absolute reality, that all who are in the tombs will hear his voice. Those who have died at sea, those who have been cremated, every single, every one of those that have died will hear his voice. Because he is the creator. He spoke the worlds into being. He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Quite a lot of the verses in Job speak to us about the way that God speaks and creates by his voice. What a mighty power his voice is. We look at the Gospels and we see and hear the power of the voice of the Lord Jesus as he speaks. He speaks and demons have to flee. He speaks and sickness and death and disease, death and demon all fled before thy words. All who are in the tombs shall hear his voice and shall go forth. And there is going to be a great division. The greatest division that there could ever be. There is a division today between people who are saved and people who are lost. But we don't know. We don't know often. We walk down the street, you don't know who's saved. We know some are. Those that have practiced good to resurrection of life. There is going to be a resurrection of life. A resurrection to heaven, to be with God in heaven. And those that have done evil to resurrection of judgment. So we're brought to the fact that we've all done evil. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Even the very youngest of us have all done things that we know are wrong. We've disobeyed, we've done things that are against our parents, we've done things that we know are nasty. We've done things that are wrong. How evident it is that we're all in the same category. So who has done good? How do we become part of that resurrection of life? This is a matter of life and death, dear friends. The gospel is a matter of life and death. That's how important it is that we have the gospel every week. I'd like to read the next passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The end of verse 20. Page 1394. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, end of verse 20. Be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. Him who knew not sin, he has made sin for us, that we might become God's righteousness in him. Those that have practiced good will be part of the resurrection of life. But there is none good except God. Someone called Jesus good teacher. There is only one good, and that is God. God in all his majestic perfection and holiness. All his glory and holiness and perfection. I've heard holiness likened to the fire. The Lord God spoke to Moses out of the burning bush. God's holiness is likened to a burning fire. We cannot enter, we cannot approach God, we cannot come near God in his holiness. And yet, dear friends, we're told to be reconciled to God, be brought back to God. If we have an argument with our friend when we're young or whenever, and we are separated, aren't we? The argument or the disagreement separates us. We need to be brought back together. We need to be brought back together, be reconciled. Our sins have separated us from God. We're enemies of God through wicked works. People don't often think of themselves as enemies of God. We've made ourselves enemies of God through the wicked works that we've done. The command in the gospel, the urgency in the gospel is be reconciled to God. How sad it is when people die suddenly. How much evidence we can see when we look at the news in all these different ways about how suddenly people are passed from time into eternity. How urgent it makes that message. Be reconciled to God. We have to be brought back to him. But he's provided a way, dear friends. We could not do it ourselves. How many times throughout his history man has tried to devise a way himself of getting back to God. All of the things that have been done in false religion, all the effort man has made to try to earn God's favour, it means nothing, dear friends. God's standard is so great, so much greater than we can understand. So the Lord Jesus Christ, was sent into this world. He in whom all the fullness of the Godhead was pleased to dwell. How much John's gospel brings out the glory of the Lord Jesus as the Son of God. But this passage, verse 21, I think is perhaps one of the most powerful passages, for me at least, in the New Testament. Because it speaks to us about the greatness of what the Lord Jesus has done on our behalf. Him, the Lord Jesus, who knew not sin. Not just that he did know sin, but he knew not sin. It was foreign to him. In his perfect holy character, no sin was found in him. Despite living in a world of brutality and wickedness and iniquity and sin. Perhaps no more wicked than today's world. But what an awful world it was that he came into. How evident man's wickedness was all around him. Sickness and disease and death and man's wickedness in every form. But he knew no sin. He was not tainted by the world around. Him who knew not sin, but he was made sin for us. The awfulness of the cross, of what man did to him, was terrible in all its fullness. But it wasn't that that made he was made sin. He was made sin at the hands of God. What God did to him in the 3 hours of darkness. He was made sin. Why was he made sin? For us. For us. That, dear friends, is the opportunity in the gospel. For us to count ourselves among the us. Made sin for us. That we might become God's righteousness in him. He bore our sins in his body on the tree. 3 hours of awful darkness. Crucified and put a nail to a cross and hung up to die. What an awful spectacle, dear friends, the picture of the cross. The cross is the centre of the gospel. But, dear friends, he finished that work. He said, "It is finished." What an announcement. "It is finished," and gave up his spirit and died and was buried and was raised again the third day. We were touched this morning when we read the passage about Joseph of Arimathea. He was with the rich in his death. How many fulfillments of prophecy. How wonderful, dear friends, the message of the glad tidings. How wonderful that we, through faith in him, through acknowledging our being sinners before him, repenting and putting our faith and trust in what the Lord Jesus has done, we might become God's righteousness in him. God will only have into heaven those who are like the Lord Jesus. God will only have into heaven those who are perfect and righteous. We have been made righteous. We are made righteous through him when we put our faith and our trust in what he has done. And as we had this afternoon, we are to walk in the way that's pleasing to him. What a challenge that is for me. To become God's righteousness in him, God clothes us with the worth of our Lord Jesus Christ. What reason to praise the Lord Jesus for all that he has done. All that he's done in pouring out the riches of his grace upon us. And many are turning to him. Many are turning to him from false religion. The oppression of false religion. The oppression of hopeless religion of works in many, many different ways. How wonderful that God is calling a people for himself. In order that we might be part of that bride. That heavenly bride that one day will be united with the Lord Jesus, with Christ. At the marriage supper of the Lamb. Blessed is he who is called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. May we have an assurance in our hearts, if we haven't got already, of that we have become God's righteousness in him, through the riches of his grace alone, through faith alone, for his name's sake. Amen.